We're holding on Memtes Amud Beis by the Mishnah. So now for the next few, now we're basically finished discussing the matter of Ashur and the various nizakim that it causes, Keren, and to a certain extent, Shein Veregel. Shein Veregel really we're going to pick up again in the next perek, but now we were dealing mostly with the goring of Ashur. We're basically done with that. Now the next few blocks, we're going to talk about the Nezek of Bor. We have it's one of the four, obviously, Zikin, Ashur, V'Habor, V'Hamav, V'Hever. So now we're up to Bor. So the Mishnah says, "Hachoyfa, if a person dug a pit in Rishus HaYachid and he opened it towards Rishus HaRabim. So, for example, in other words, it was he built it, he dug it on an angle so that the opening is in Rishus HaRabim and the actual inside of the burr is in his Rishus. Then that would be one example where he's chayev. Rashi points out. Well, let's finish the Mishnah and then we'll talk about or the other way around. If he opened it, if the burr was basically dug under Rishus HaRabim, and the opening is in Rishus HaYachid, so and now the Tosfos gives the general rule is you should realize that wherever the opening of the burr is, that's where the burr itself is considered to be. Now we're going to learn in the Gemara, you're not supposed to build a burr under Rishus HaRabim. It may cave in, and that may cause problems. But leaving that aside, here we're talking about the chiyuv of the actual burr itself, of someone of an animal falling into the actual opening of the burr. So if the opening of the burr is in Rishus HaRabim, then a person would be chayev. Rashi says all the more so when we said that he opened it in Rishus HaYachid and the entrance and the opening to it is in Rishus HaRabim, he's chayev. All the more so if both the body of the burr and the opening are in Rishus HaRabim, for sure he's chayev. The point being, in other words, that you shouldn't think it has to be someplace in his Rishus. It doesn't matter whether it's in his Rishus. We're going to see in the Gemara about that. We're going to see Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, here where we have the second case where the actual bor itself is under Rishus HaRabim, but the opening is in Rishus HaYachid, it would have to be. It actually points out that he was maskil that Rishus, that then he dug that bor, and then he made that Rishus, that where the bor opens into, available for the B'nai Rishus HaRabim to use. Because otherwise, if the opening is in his Rishus, then he then if anybody falls in, he can tell them, "What are you doing? What are you doing in my Rishus?" Tosfos points out it may actually also be where he does it right by the edge of his property, where it's so close to Rishus HaRabim that people or animals rather, we're talking about that are walking in Rishus HaRabim, are very likely to fall into it. Anyway, and the third case, or if he dug a bor in Rishus HaYachid and the opening is into a different Rishus HaYachid, Rashi learns that it means that both of them belong to him. But again, he was mafkir the second Rishus HaYachid. So now you have an opening to a bor which is in Rishus HaRabim. Tosfos discusses that it might actually be a Rishus HaRabim of a different person. So in other words, Reuven digs a bor under his property, and the opening is into Shimon's property, or the other way around. Whatever the case, the point is, in all those cases, chayev. So now if an animal falls into that bor, then in all those three cases, he's chayev. So the Gemara starts off, so if a person digs a burr in Rishus HaYachid and the entrance, the opening of the burr is in Rishus HaRabim, now you have the next words over here, is similar to an our Mishnah where you have the other way around. If it was in Rishus HaRabim and the opening is in Rishus HaYachid, but actually Marsha take that out, which is why it's in parenthesis, because we're going to say soon that actually we're going to have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and then we're going to have a machlokas of Amiroyim, how to understand them, and not according to everybody are we saying that Rabbi Shmuel would say he's chayev when it comes Rishus HaYachid or Poschel or Rishus HaRabim. So according to one understanding of Rabbi Shmuel, that may be valid, but according to the other, it's not. So in order not to contradict him, then it means this is not part of the Braisa. Anyway, so Rishus HaYachid or Poschel or Rishus HaRabim. So he dug a bor in Rishus HaYachid, and the opening of it is in Rishus HaRabim. So chayev. So then he would be chayev for any nezek that's caused that by that bur. Vizehu bur ha'omer b'torah divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says this is the definition of the bur that the Torah is talking about where a person is chayev. What he means by that phrase, we're going to learn in the Gemara. So Tosfos also brings as a girsa that has instead of birshas yachid or poschel or shosar abim that has birshas rabim or poschel or shosar abim, meaning that this brisa is talking about where the whole burr, the body of the burr as well as the opening is in shosar rabim, but Tosfos says you don't really then in that case you could just say achol for burr birshas rabim, but fine, it wants to use phrasing similar to our Mishnah. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, it has to be like this. Hifkir Rishusai, below Hifkir Boroi, where the person was mafkir his Rishus, and says, this Rishusai Yachid, where the opening of the Bor is, I mafkir it. People of Rishus Rabim can walk in it, but he wasn't mafkir the Bor itself. That would be Zehu Bor HaOmer BaTorah. Rabbi Akiva would say that's the case where the Torah is talking about that he's Chayev for the burr, as we'll see soon in the Gemara. So let's explain what exactly the argument is. Omar Rabba, the burr b'shus harabim kol amole pligidim chayim. If the actual burr was in b'shus harabim, then everybody would agree that he's chayev. Even though you could argue, what do you mean the burr doesn't even though you could say the bird doesn't really belong to him because it's in Rosh Hashanah. Nevertheless, everybody would agree that he's chayev. My timer, omakro, because the pasuk says ki yiftach v'chi yichra. The pasuk mentions two possibilities where a person opens up a bird, meaning there was already a bird there and it was covered, and he uncovered it, or v'chi yichra, or if he digs a bird to begin with. You have to ask, ima psicha chayev, he's chayev even for opening a bur that was already there, and all he did was take off the lid, al kriya, like koshikin, how much more so shouldn't he be chayev for actually digging a new one, where there was never a hezek there, a potential hezek there at all, and he created one. So why does the pasuk even need to mention that he dug the bur? Now, Tosfos refers to the Mechilta, which actually says, you learn from here the general concept, ein onshin min adin. We know all over Shas, we say, that you can't punish a person, whether with Malkus or Misa or any, or in this case, Mammon, based on a Kavah Chomer. You need an actual Pasuk to tell you, or a Limud from a Pasuk to tell you. And the Mechilta derives that from here, because since the Torah took the trouble to write Ki Yichra, rather than allowing us to rely on a Kavah Chomer, then that shows Ein Onshin Min Adin. However, Tosfos points out, our Gemara is not taking that view of the matter, or the Gemara Bavli does hold that you could be Onshin Min Adin, at least when it comes to Onshin Mammon. So therefore the Gemara needs a different reason why it says Ki Yichra. And so the reason is, Ella shall iske psicha val iske kriya baloi. What the Torah is teaching you is that you're talking about that you're chayev only because you opened the burr, or only because you dug the burr. Meaning, in other words, that even though you're talking in Rosh Hashanah, the land doesn't belong to you. So if it was a burr in your property, then or it's a burr, like Rabbi Akiva says, that you own the actual burr, then you could say, of course you're chayev, because then it's your mammon, no different than if your ox or anything else causes damage. Or like we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, a tulda of burr is, for example, that you put a knife someplace where somebody can trip over it, or a stone, or a knife, or a load of goods or whatever, and those all belong to you. So if it belongs to you, of course you're chayev, it's your mammon. The chiddush is over here that even though it's in Rosh Hashanah and the land, the ground, doesn't belong to you, nevertheless, you still chayev because you dug the burr or because you uncovered it. So when it's in Rosh Hashanah, then both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are going to agree as chayev. Says Rabbi, lo nechluku ela b'bur b'shusay. The argument between them is strictly when the burr is in his property and then he was mafkir the reshus, and then he was mafkir the reshus around. Rabbi Akiva, some of Berber Shosei Nami Chayev. So Rabbi Akiva holds, doesn't matter that when the bird is, even though the bird remains in his rishus, he's also chayev b'chdiv bala bird, because the pasuk describes what does he do, what happens when an animal falls in there and gets killed. The owner of the bird has to pay, implying the bird yisle b'ilim kama rachmana, implying the Torah is talking about a bird that has an owner, and the Torah is mechayev him. So you see that even though he still retains ownership of the bird, nevertheless he's still chayev. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether he was mafku the borough or not, as long as he was mafku the area, as long as he was mafku the area around it. But Rabbi Shmuel saw the bala tarkola, whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds bala borough doesn't mean that somebody actually owns the borough. All it means is that we call the bala borough the one who created the tarkola over here, the one who created the obstacle in Rosh Hashanah. He's the one going to be chayev to pay whether he actually owns the bor or not. So Rashi explains, in other words, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, what we're saying is Rabbi Shmuel takes the point that takes the view that only if he was mafkir. He says, look, I was mafkir my rishus, but I'm not mafkir it to the extent that I should be chayev. I'm mafkir it so people can walk over here, but I'm not taking responsibility if people fall in over there. So that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that it's a little bit different. Rabbi Shmuel would say, if I wasn't mafkir the rishus, then you say that turchav rishus, my boy, what is your ox doing in my rishus? Meaning you didn't have to walk so close to the edge of Rishus Rabim that you would fall into something in my rishus. So that would be why Rabbi Shmuel would say that it has to be in Rishus Rabim, or it has to be at least at the opening of it is in Rishus Rabim. Okay. Well, then what does Rabbi Akiva mean when he says Zehu Bor HaOmer BaTorah? Now, Rabbi Shmuel, when he says Zehu Bor, he means this is the Bor, meaning in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that only when you have the opening in Rosh HaSarabim are you Chayev, and the Zehu, this, as opposed to what you, Rabbi Akiva, are saying, that you can have a case where even it's in Rosh HaSayachid, and you're going to be Chayev, so Rabbi Shmuel Zehu is coming to exclude Rabbi Akiva. But what is Rabbi Akiva coming to exclude with his Zehu? Either way, he's saying whether it's in Rosh HaSayachid, or whether it's in, and you were mafkir it, or whether it's in Rosh HaSarabim, you're Chayev. So what does Rabbi Akiva mean by the word Zehu? So it means Zehu Bosh, Apostle by Akos of Tchilo L'Tashlomen. All he means is that this is, he says, this is the one that the Torah is mentioning as far as payment. Meaning, in other words, Rabbi Akiva is not saying that it's coming to exclude a different kind. All Rabbi Akiva is saying is that you Rabbi Shmuel are telling me that when the bur is Rishus HaYochid, then you should be potter, and he was mafkir the Rishus and not mafkir the bur, he should be potter according to you Rabbi Shmuel. This is the very bur that the Torah is talking about, because it says Bala bur. So he doesn't mean Zehu to exclude, just the opposite. He means Zehu as in how could you think otherwise when this is clearly the one the Torah is talking about. So that's how Rabbah understands the machlokes. But Rabbi Yosef says, no, you have to understand the machlokes differently. Where the bird is in Rosh HaSayachid, and he was mafkir the area around it, so now anybody can walk in there, then everybody agrees that he's chayev. My time of bala bird, Omer Achmona, bird is the baila maskinan, because the bird is the baila maskinan, because like Rabbi had just said, since it says Bala Bor Yishalem, then it has to mean something. It has to mean a bird that has an owner. So what the Svara that Rabbi had used to explain Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef is using it to explain both of them. So both of them would agree with that point. Keep plingy with Bor B'Shosarabim. Rabbi Yosef understands the other way around. The Machlokas is strictly about a Bor B'Shosarabim. Rabbi Shmuel saw the bird Rishus Rabim nami chayev. What it is on the contrary. So according to Rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel holds that there are fewer cases of bird that you chayev than Rabbi Akiva does. He holds that a bird Rishus Yachid you'd be potter, and only Rishus Rabim you chayev. Now according to Rabbi Yosef, it's the other way around. Rabbi Shmuel is saying, according to Rabbi Yosef, it's the other way around. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that there's more cases where you chayev. Also, when it's Mishas Rabim, Dichtiv ki yiftach v'chiyechra, because we have the two statements in the pasuk that we said before, when a person opens up a bor, or when he digs a new one, and like we said before, imah psicha chayev akriya lekol shekain, certainly a person should be chayev for digging a bor, if he's chayev even for uncovering one, el shal iski psicha val iski kriya baloi, rather it's we're saying he's chayev because he dug, or because he uncovered, or because he dug, meaning even though the bor doesn't belong to him. So the same svara that Rabbah had said before, that both of them agree with, and therefore they would both say that it's chayav b'rishas harabim, Rabbi Yosef is saying that svara is only according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva would answer back, and he would say, no, it's not that there's no extra words over there that you can learn that concept from. Rather, Rabbi Akiva would say, hanu mitzrach tzrichi, no, because you need both the word ki yiftach and ki yichra. If the Torah only wrote the words ki yiftach, if he opened up the bur, you would think on the contrary. If there was already a bur there and it was covered and you uncovered it, fine. So you have to bring things back to the way they were before you got involved. You have to recover it, and it's enough to do that. And then if you recover it with a proper cover, then you're potter for anything that happens after. But you would think if the person dug a whole new bur, maybe covering it is not enough. Add the toyim lay, he would actually have to fill it in. And actually, the toyim Rashi points out later on in the sugya, we have Rashi brings over there. You know, you have by Yitzchak and his wells, where Avraham had dug wells, and then the plishtim stuffed them up. And the expression is sitmum plishtim in the pasuk, and Targum translates it as tamoinon plishtoi. So we see that the word tes aleph mem means to stuff up, to fill up a bor with dirt. So you would think maybe if he actually dug a whole new bur, maybe he has to actually stuff it with dirt, and only then is he potter. So therefore you need to say ki yichra as well, which means if he digs, even if he digs, then he's only chayev as long as there's a possibility of a nafal shama shura chamur, namely that he, because the pasuk continues v'lo yichasenu. So even though he dug it, the pasuk says v'lo yichasenu. If he doesn't cover it, then he's chayev, implying as long as he covered it, then we're good. Marsha, by the way, brings up a point that what happened to Daya over here? If you're going to learn digging it by a kavachomer from opening it up, you're going to say if he's chayev even for opening it up, how much more so for digging it? Dial of Omen Adin Lias Kenodin. Why shouldn't you require him just to cover it up? Why didn't the Pasuk tell us otherwise? And a couple of Achronim point out, the Pnei Yeshua and some other Achronim point out that you could say it like this. Anytime the Torah is telling you maybe that you have to restore things to the way that it was before you got involved, when you opened the burr, before there was a bur there, all it was is there was a cover. You remove the cover, fine. You put back the cover, you're back to where you were before. Here, we're talking about you dug a whole new bur. Maybe the Torah is going to require you to put things back to the way they were before you got involved. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that no, it's enough to cover it.
No, so if someone falls and dies, then it's chayv. The balabas, someone dug it,
No, he wouldn't be chayv for the Abba Dvarim necessarily, because he didn't cause the hezek directly. His bor caused it.
So we said before, we said that you can't learn from, you can't have chayv unshim.
Ain't unshim min adin, right?
Yeah, but it's not unshim saying.
Here we're not talking, right? So here what we're saying is, in other words, that the point is, if the Torah hadn't said ki yichra, you would think you actually have to fill in the bor as a whole. Therefore, the Torah has to say ki yichra. The ikos of Rachmana ki yichra. On the other hand, if the Torah had only written ki yichra, argues Rabbi Akiva, again, this is all within Rabbi Yosef's svara, have amina, then you would think the other way around. Kriya hu deboi kisui. When he dug the bur for the first time, then the Torah is requiring that he cover it. Mishum de Ovid Maisa, because he did a major Maisa over there by digging a bur where there wasn't one before. Avo Peseach, the Lord Ovid Maisa, but when he just opens up a bur, he didn't do much of a Maisa. All he did was remove a cover. So Ema Kisui Namule Boy, on the contrary, maybe he doesn't even need to cover it at all. Maybe the Torah would patter him from any Zakin at all because all he did was remove a cover. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Akiva is going to say, according to Rabbi Yosef, that you need both things. So you can't learn from it like Rabbi Shmuel does, that that you chayev because you dug or because you uncovered, meaning it doesn't matter whether the bor belongs to you or not. Rabbi Akiva is going to say, sure, the bor has to belong to you. If it's not, if it doesn't belong to you, then it's a, you don't have a bala bor, as it says in the pasuk. Therefore, you can't be chayev. The reason why it says ki yiftach v'chiyichra, not like you, Rabbi Shmuel, are saying that it didn't need to say ki yichra, and therefore we're able to use it to teach us that regardless, as long as he dug a bor, as long as he uncovered a bor, he's chayev. No, because you need each one of them, because then there's a svara. You would have had a svara to say that maybe he should be more chayev in the case of one of them, or more potter in the case of one of them.
And more chayev meaning?
More chayev meaning that he'd have to fill it in with dirt in order to be potter, and more potter that maybe he shouldn't even need to cover it at all. Yeah. So the elam,
I'm covered for sure. To cover.
No, because you could argue that's what Rabbi Yosef is explaining. Rabbi Akiva is saying that if you didn't dig the bor yourself, you only found the cover and you uncovered it. Maybe the Torah is not considering you to be so responsible. Maybe you'd consider the original bala bor to be more responsible, and therefore be mechayev him and not you because removing the cover. Therefore,
all things we learned till now.
Okay, but nevertheless, nevertheless, you could have had that svara. Therefore, the Torah forestalls that by telling you v'lo yichasenu, that if you didn't cover it, you're the one who becomes chayev. It's not your burn, you didn't dig it in the first place, and
it's
nevertheless.
Not covered, not anyone can fall in the
well, that's the point. In other words, the Torah needs to tell you that. Yeah. Okay. The Ella's my zehu bor ha'omer b'Torah to karmen Rabbi Shmuel. So what is Rabbi Shmuel? So now, according to Rabbah before, we were left with, we had the question, what did Rabbi Akiva mean with his zehu bor? Given that Rabbi Akiva holds those more cases that you chayev than Rabbi Shmuel does. So we said Rabbi Shmuel says zehu, meaning my kind of bor, as opposed to what you say, Rabbi Shmuel, according to you, what you, Rabbi Akiva, say. But here in Rabbi Yosef's understanding, it's the other way around. Rabbi Shmuel has a more expansive bor, has a more expansive view of what kind of bor a person is chayev in. So then what is Rabbi Shmuel saying zehu? So Rabbi Akiva is saying zehu bor, meaning only the kind I'm talking about, not the kind you're talking about. But Rabbi Shmuel, who has a more expansive view of it, and he says that even a bor b'rishas rabim, where it doesn't belong to you even to begin with, you're still chayev, then what's his zehu? And the answer is like before, zehu bor, shaposach by akosach tkilul nizakin. He explains it like the way we said before. It means Rabbi Shmuel is saying, how could you, Rabbi Akiva, be saying that this case of a bor b'rishas rabim is the case where a person is potter? This is the very case that the Torah is talking about and being mechayev. So you can't think to exclude that based on your drashas. He's telling you. Yeah. Rev Alashmona. Maisvi, the Gemara says, okay, so now we understand then, so we have two different, understandings. So we have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva.
Kingston.
The Kingston, yeah.
Pina Khan. Pina Svala.
You can. Okay, so now we have Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva, and we have Rabbah's understanding of it, and we have Rabbi Yosef's understanding of it. So the Gemara says, Maisvi, I have a contradiction against Rabbi Yosef's understanding. A Braisa says, Achoy for bor b'rishas rabim, person digs a pit in Rishas rabim, or poscher l'rishas yachid, and he opened it into Rishas yachid, potter. Then he's potter because it's in his property. It's in his Rosh HaSiyachid. And he can say that you have no business walking around here. As Tosfos uses the expression, what's your shur doing in my Roshos that it should ever fall into this bur in the first place?
The opening is by Rosh
HaSiyachid. No, we said the opening is in Rosh HaSiyachid. So the body of the bur, the inside of the bur, is underneath Rosh HaSiyachid. So now, so the Afa Pisha in Rashoi Lassus came. It is true, says the Braisa, that a person is not allowed to do that. Lafisha ain oisin cholo tachas rishas rabim. You're not allowed to dig a cavity under rishas rabim because the top of it may cave in. And if the top of it caves in, in fact, Rashi points out, he will be chayev. But if the animal falls in through the entrance, as it usually would, through the opening of the bur, and the opening is in rishas yachid, then the owner of the bur will be potter. Rashi points out, for purposes of the question, we assume that it means even if afterwards he was mafkir his rishus. Now, at this point, we're assuming the Tana of this Braisa holds that you are chayev for a bor in rishus rabim just that you are chayv for a bor in Rishas Rabim, just that right now there's no Rishas Rabim for it to fall into because the opening is in Rishas Yachid. So the only way for you to be chayev would be if you were mafkir the if you were we're saying even if you were mafkir your rishus, because to begin with the opening was in your rishus, then therefore you'd be potter. Only if the top of it that's under rishus rabim caved in, then you'd be chayev. So the feature ain't always in tachas chol tachas rishus rabim. You're not allowed to make a cavity under rishus rabim because it may cave in. And by the way, Mephoshim point out, so you could say, so what? You'll say that the Rashbam actually points out, this is a Mishnah in Baba Basra that says you're not allowed to do this. The Rashbam says over there, so you could say, so what? I'll dig under Rosh Hashanah. I mean, if it caves in and then anybody gets injured or whatever, then I take full responsibility and I'll pay them. Nevertheless, people can say, the B'nai Rosh Hashanah can say, look, we don't want to get involved in all that hassle. We don't want to have to, that there's going to be a Nezek and then we have to go to Beis Din and go through that whole rigmarole. So don't do it to begin with. So here, the guy did it. Nevertheless, we can't be mechayev him for an animal falling in through the opening of it. Because the opening of it is in his rishus. Yeah. It continues the braisa.
Does he have a little fence there that should prevent it from going in?
Mepashtus not. And in fact, Rashi says, even if afterwards he was mafkir his rishus, but right now, at least for purposes of the question, we're assuming the point is that to begin with, when he dug the burr, the opening of it was in his rishus.
What happens if the opening being in Yerusha Sayachid and something falls inside, the shore falls inside, and then it causes the wall of the rishus harabim to collapse and someone gets injured?
Good question. I mean, I guess we would have to say that probably that's a matter of grumma, and therefore the owner of the shur would be potter, and then the owner of the bor would be chayev because he dug this bor and it caved in. But I don't know. It's a good question. I really don't know.
Grumma means what?
Grumma means an indirect damage. If because the shur falling in, that weakened the top of the burr, and therefore it caved in, you could argue that that's not really something that the shur caused directly. It's like we learned the other day, for example, about a shur falling into a burr and then stinking up the water because it died in there. So that's a grumma. It's something that is going to happen, but it's not something that happened immediately as soon as the shur fell in there.
And garmi is direct?
Garmi is more direct, but yeah, we'll talk about that later in the Masechta. There are actually several different understandings among Rishonim about the difference between Grumma and Garmi, but we'll talk about that more in more detail later in the Masechta. Anyway, continues the Braisa. If a person digs boris shichin ma'oris in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and we're going to learn on Umud Beis what the definitions of those are, they're different shapes of water pits, or poschel Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and he opened up the opening of the boris in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, chayev, then he's going to be chayev because he has no business opening a boris in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Now, what happens? A person digs a bor in Rishos Yachid next to Rishos Rabim. For example, when people are digging to build foundations for walls, you have to have the word ushin, Rashi points out, is an Aramaic word meaning walls. So when you're building a wall, you have to dig deep down into the ground because you have to lay a solid foundation. So then, the Braisa says, so the Tanakhama would say that he's potter for reasons that we're going to discuss soon. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would say he's chayev ad shiyasa mechitza asara, unless he makes a fence 10 tefachim tall around the digging over there. Or unless he keeps it at least 4 tefachim away from where people and animals are going to walk in Rosh Hashanah. So in other words, if he does it further into his property, then if he doesn't want to put up a wall, then he has to do it far enough into his property where they won't accidentally fall in there. Here it says four tefachim. There's a girsa. The Marshal brings a girsa for amos. Anyway, the point is, so thus far the Braisa. So let's consider that last part. Time of the la'ushin. Why are we saying according to the Tanakhama that he's potter? Is because he's digging in order to put up walls, which so you could argue, in other words, it wasn't really pshia for him to do that, because people need to build walls for their for their houses, so it's not pesheya. In fact, the Ramaphosian will point out the fact of needing to build walls is such an important thing that even the Tanakhama is going to say that it's considered like the Bnei Rosh HaSarabim all gave him permission to do that, because it's a very important point. The Rashba points out, in other words, that building houses is so essential for places to be settled. Everybody needs that. Therefore, to begin with, everybody agrees that a person does that, he should be potu from nizakin. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that's all very nice, but you still have to put up a fence or have it further in. Anyway, the point is, only because he's doing a la'ushin, because he has that special rule, then he'd be potter. Halav la'ushin chayev. So implying that if he wasn't digging for the purpose of walls, then he would be chayev. So now, homani. So who is this braisa like? Bishlema l'rabba, reish Rabbi Shmuel, v'sefer Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabba, we can say that the beginning of the braisa is according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says, again, according to Rabba's understanding, where the bur was in your reshus, Rabbi Shmuel said you potter, Rabbi Akiva said you chayev. Very well then, the beginning of the braisa that says that he's potter when the bur was reshus, because we said the opening of the bur was in his reshus, and we said he's potter, that would be according to Rabbi Shmuel. The continuation of the braisa would be that only when choyfa l'ushin is he potter, implying otherwise he's going to be chayev, even though the opening is on his property, that would be according to Rabbi Akiva. Fine, with Bryce's Rabbi Akiva Svara, we said before, Rabba explained Rabbi Akiva Svara to say that that as long as the burr is even if the burr is in your reshus, if you were mafkir the area around the burr, so now people can walk there, then you become chayev. Well, over here he's digging for ushin right next to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayev him, even though the actual digging is on his property because it's next to Rosh Hashanah. So when he's doing for foundations of walls, then Rabbi Akiva will patter him, because like the Rashba said, everybody agrees that you have to do that kind of thing, but not otherwise. So according to Rabba, we understand who the braisa is like. But according to Rabbi Yosef, Bishlena Sefer Divra Hakol. Rabbi Yosef would say that the Sefer where you're digging next to Rosh Hashanah, then you're going to be chayev unless you have the special reason of la'ushin. That's going to be according to everybody, because Rabbi Yosef holds that everybody agrees that a burr. Rabbi Yosef had said everybody agrees that you're chayev when the burr is in your reshus, when you mafkir the area around the burr, because ba'al burr, because again the pasuk calls him the owner of the burr. So according to Rabbi Yosef, the end of the braisa about the ushin, we understand ela resha mani, but who would the beginning of the braisa be like? Loy Rabbi Shmuel v'loy Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't seem to work according to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding, when the burr is in Rosh Hashanah, then you have the machlokas whether he's chayev or whether he's potter. But here we're saying, to begin with, we said that he opened the burr into Rosh Hashanah, and we were assuming that he wasn't mafkir the area around it. So nobody holds he's chayev. So why would the beginning of the braisa say, or rather the other way around, where the burr was in Rosh Hashanah and the opening was in Rosh Hashanah? So according to Rabbi Yosef, the beginning of the braisa had said that if the opening is in Rosh Hashanah, he's potter. But according to Rabbi Yosef, that wouldn't work out. How could he be potter? Both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would be saying because the burr was in Rosh Hashanah, then for sure he's going to be chayev, because he was mafkir that area, and therefore people are allowed to walk there. So he's the Baal HaBur. You have an actual owner of the bur because it's in his property. So when the beginning of the braisa says that if he dug it under Rosh Hashanah, which fine, he wasn't allowed to do that, and the opening was to Rosh Hashanah, then was saying he's potter, according to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding, he should be chayev.
It's only if he's mafker.
If it was mafker, that's what we're assuming. You know, why else? I mean, if he wasn't mafker, of course he's potter, because he can say, what's your show doing in my property?
Even though it wasn't that far away.
Right.
Because Ushin,
you
say, is far away.
Ushin is not so far away, actually, but yeah. Ushin is right by the edge of Rosh Hashanah. The Tanakhama had said, that even if he does it right next to Rosh Hashanah, he's still potter. Of Yosef of Yehuda, he said he has to add to four tfachim or four amas away. So the answer is, Amalach Rabbi Yosef, Kula Divrei Hakol, Actually, what it is the whole, not like you're saying according to Rabbah, that the Braise says half according to Rabbi Shmuel and half according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosef is going to answer you. The whole Braise is according to everybody, according to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Not the whole Braise, technically. Tosfos points out the middle part where we're talking about that the Borer is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the opening is in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that necessarily would be only according to Rabbi Shmuel, where the opening is in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that Iskayev would only be according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding, because Rabbi Akiva would say that you're that Borer Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you're potter because it doesn't have an owner. That's what we said before, even though he dug it, yeah. But the rest of the Braisa, the beginning and the end of the Braisa, would be according to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, because the Reisha Shalai Hifkir Loi Rashus Evaloi Borei. You know what? In the Reisha, you're talking about he wasn't Mafkir anything. He wasn't Mafkir the Rashus, he wasn't Mafkir the Borei. So therefore, that's why he's Potter, because what's your show doing in my property? So yes, you could argue it's not much of a Chiddush, but nevertheless, you can explain the Braisa that way. Rashi, in fact, points out given that the Braisa has to talk about the other cases we're involving Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Rabim, the main chiddush would be that even though he did wrong by digging under Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and we said Einos and Cholol Tachas Rosh Hashanah Rabim, nevertheless we can't be mechayiv him on those grounds unless the top of it actually caves in. Just because he dug under Rosh Hashanah Rabim, as long as the opening is in his property, then you can't be mechayev him if the property and the burr still belong to him, because what's your show doing in my property? So that would be the chiddush of that part, according to Rav Yosef. And the Gemara points out, Amar Rav Ashi, Hashta du ukimta l'Rav Yosef, l'divrei Hakol, now that you're saying that according to Rav Yosef, the entire braisa could be according to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, l'Rabba Nami lo tot m'ketanoi. Then really, according to Rabbah, you're not forced to say that the Braisa is dealing with two different opinions over here, and that part of it is according to Rabbi Shmuel and part according to Rabbi Akiva. Midi Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, Sefer Nami Rabbi Shmuel. Because you could say, since the Reisha is necessarily according to Rabbi Shmuel, because it says that he's potter where the opening is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and according to Rabbah, that's talking about where he was mafkir the area around it. If he wasn't mafkir the area around that he's potter, and if he was in his chayev, since we said according to Rabbah, the beginning of the braisa is according to Rabbi Shmuel, then we can also say sefer nami Rabbi Shmuel. The sefer we can also about the ushin we can also make work according to Rabbi Shmuel, because taima de la ushin. What is it? What are we saying? Yes, because he's digging for ushin, therefore he's potter. Halav la ushin chayev. And you're implying that if he didn't dig for ushin, then he's chayev. That would be going to arvach arvuchi l'rishos rabin. That would be we're talking about where he extended out the bird that he's digging for his walls into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So he didn't just stop by his property line. He actually went out further into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That's one way of explaining that. And then there's a different way that some Achroinim have of explaining it. The Yamshel Shleimer, the Bach have a different way of explaining it. That basically, and they also change the wording in Rashi over here to make it fit with this understanding, that what it means is he took some of his property and designated. He's digging in his reshus. What he's doing is he's digging right now there in order to build foundations. Eventually, once he finishes digging, he plans to take that area in which he was digging and hand it over to Rosh Hashanah. So right now it's still part of his property, but eventually he's going to. But what he's planning is, in other words, until he finishes his construction project, then this part is still going to belong to him. Anyway, so we can understand that the Braisa is talking about that kind of case. So therefore, so again, whether we understand on a simple level that he's actually digging out into Rosh Hashanah Rabim as well, or whether we understand like that explanation that it means that he's digging an area which is eventually going to become Rosh Hashanah Rabim, therefore Rabbi Shmuel would say that usually he'd be chayev only when he's chayev for the ushin. Only then does he have the reason that digging for ushin is so important that we can pater him. So therefore, you could say that that part la'ushin is also according to Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore the whole braisa is like Rabbi Shmuel. Um, Okay, the Gemara says, fine, I have another contradiction against Rabbi Yosef. Mesvi, ha-choyfe bur b'shosa yachid ha-poschal l'shosa rabim. Person is digging a bur in r'shosa yachid, and he opens it into r'shosa rabim. Chayev, so then he's chayev because he's chayev, because now you have a bur b'shosa rabim. B'shosa yachid ha-smuchal l'shosa rabim, but if he dug it in r'shosa yachid, and it's close to r'shosa rabim, potter, then he'd be, then it's close to r'shosa rabim, and Rashi adds, in other words, again, that you're talking about a case where Hifkir Rashusa, where he's designating that this area can now be used by the Bnei Rashus Rabim. So then Potter. So again, Bishlema L'Rabba Kula Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabba, that this Braisa that we just quoted is according to Rabbi Shmuel. El Rabbi Yosef, Bishlema Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, El Seif Amani, according to Rabbi Yosef. The beginning is like Rabbi Shmuel, because he's Machayev with a Bur Rashus Rabim, but the Seifa, according to who would it be? Loy Rabbi Shmuel, Loy Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yosef's understanding, it wouldn't work with either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. Because again, Rabbi Shmuel would say that you're Chayev when you were, Rabbi Yosef would say that you're Chayev by a Bur Rashus Yochid according to everybody, and by a Bur Rashus Rabim according to Rabbi Shmuel. And now we're saying that if you dug in a Rashus Yochid, a Smuchel or Rashus Rabim, then you'd be Potter, so that doesn't work according to either one of them. So the answer is Omalach. Rab Yosef will answer you. This last brisa that we just quoted is talking about where he's digging for foundations. And as we just said, when it's come for digging for foundations, then you have an exception to the usual rules. Then he can be potter because it's such an important thing that they potter him from Nizakim for it. Okay. Another case. It says, okay. So that's that. So we have a machlokas Rabbi. We have a machlokas Rabba. We have Machlokas Rabba and we have Machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Okay. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are arguing how we understand Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva respectively. Usually,
ask them because they were later on.
They were a couple hundred years later. Yeah. Usually, when we have a Machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, if I remember correctly, usually the halacha is like Rabba in most cases.
Yosef is the sharp.
Yeah, Rabbi Yosef is more. Rabbi Yosef is more the one who knew a lot of facts. He was the Morich Kita. He was the master of wheat. And Rabba is usually the one who. Rabba is usually the one who was very sharp. He was very sharp in coming up with new svaras. Yeah. So. The usual rule is that you have most of the time the halacha is like usually the halacha is like Rabba with three exceptions where the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. This is not one of those three exceptions. Okay, continues the Gemara. Tanan Rabbanan, Bofar uposach. What if a person dug a bur and opened it in Rishas Rabbim and opened it up or opened it up umosel the Rabbim, but he handed it over to the Rabbim. Meaning, until now we've been talking about he's digging in Rishas Rabim, but he expects to use it for himself. He's not making the water that collects in this burr available to everybody. Now we're talking about where he actually digs it for the purpose of the Rabim, and he gives them ownership of that burr. Rashi says to the people, this burr that I dug is for you to be able to use the water that collects over there. Therefore, in that sense, he's giving it over to them. There are Rishonim who learn the Rosh brings from, and then there are all say that what it means is he actually gives them the lid of the burr, and he tells them that I'm handing you the lid. You can decide when the burr is open and when it's closed, and you're dealing with that. Anyway, so when he does, so if he does that potter, then he's potter for if anybody falls into the burr. But if he dug it or uncovered it and did not give it over to the rabbin, then he'd be chayev. That's what we said before. According to Rabbi Akiva, everybody agrees that a bur b'shus rabbin you're chayev. And the machlokas was only about b'shus yachid. According to Rabbi Yosef, it's the other way around. According to Rabbi Yosef, this that we're saying would be only according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva would potter him because he'd say a bur b'shus rabbin you're potter. Anyway. Um, This was the minhag of Mechunya, who used to dig Boris Shechinim Oris. We find in Masech the Shkolim, the Mishnah mentions the various officials that worked in the Beis Mikdash. One of them was the Chunya Choyfer Shechin, the pastor's the same one as we're talking about over here. It was a position that was passed down from generation to generation. The point is, one of the needs of the Beis Mikdash was lots of water. People are coming on Aliyah the Regal, people are coming with their animals, the animals need water to drink. So there was an official who was in charge of digging Boris Shechinim Oris, so that there would be a plentiful water supply. So Nechunya used to do that. He used to dig and uncover wells in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Umoisa the Rabbim, and then he would give them over to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and give them over to the Rabbim and tell them that they can use the water freely. When the Chachamim heard of what he's doing, Omru, they said, this man, Nechunya, fulfilled this halacha. He did what this halacha says he can do, and therefore he's potter. Gemara says halacha zu v'tulai. What do you mean? They're saying he only kept with this one halacha in his lifetime. Ela ema af halacha zu. They're saying he kept even this halacha. Of course, he's a frum yid that keeps all the halachas. You should know he was careful even with this, which he might not have chapzach. But this is an important point. He did. He properly gave it over to Bnei Rosh Hashanah. Speaking of this Nechunya, the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, we learned this story back in Masech the Yevamos as well. It happened once that the daughter of Nechunya Choyfer Shichin fell into a big pit full of water. Some of the Mephoshim even Tosfos implies over here that it was actually one of the pits that her father had dug. But whatever the case, anyway, the problem is she's in great danger over there. She can't, how long is she going to be able to hold her head above water? So they came to tell Reb Chanina ben Dosa to daven on her behalf. Apparently the burr was too big and too deep for them to actually go and get her out. Well, whatever, I guess they weren't able to for whatever reason. Maybe she was a little kid and she wouldn't be able to, whatever. Anyway, Shari Shona, Omalahem Shalom, during the first period of time, Shal literally means an hour, but maybe it doesn't necessarily mean an hour over here. He told them it's all okay, she's gonna get out of there alive. Shnia Omalahem Shalom, the second hour also. Shlishis, by the time it was the third hour and Bederech HaTeva, she wouldn't have survived in there. Omalahem also. She's definitely out of there already, because as the Gemara is gonna point out soon, he knew for sure that it's impossible that she's going to die in that burr. So as long as there was still a possibility that she could be alive in there, then he can't yet tell them she's out of there for sure. Once it got to the point where there's no way she could have survived in there that long, then he's saying for sure she must be out of there, because one way or the other, there's no possible way she could have died in there, as he's going to explain in a few lines. And sure enough, Omrullah, so they asked her, Mihailach, who got you out of that burr? Omrullahem, she says, Zohar shall rechelim nizdamin li, a male sheep, a ram, came across me, Zuck and Echad Manhigah, with an old man leading the ram, and they were the ones who schlepped me out of the burr. This is symbolizing Avram Avinu and the ram by the Akedah, that Avram Avinu, in other words, came to rescue her. One idea being, because her father was such a Baal Chesed, doing all this digging of wells and giving them to the Rabbim so that they should have lots of water. So therefore, Avraham Avinu came and stuck up for her with his Chesed. An interesting point. In other words, the Pnei Yeshua says that really what it is she with the, it had already been decided in Shemayim that she would end up that she would end up dying. But now Rav Chanina ben Dosa's tefillah helped her. But you still have, there needs to be kind of a substitute. The same way as by Yitzchak, by the Akedah. It wasn't enough that Yitzchak was saved. There had to be a substitute. And therefore Avraham was shown the ram and he brought that as a korban. The same way there had to be some kind of substitute for her in Shemayim. So that's symbolic of that. Yeah. Anyway. So Omru Loi, they asked Rav Chanina ben Dosa, Noviata, are you a Novi? How'd you know she's going to get out of there safely? Omru Lahem, he says, Loi Novi Anochi, Loi Ben Novi Anochi, Ela Kach Amalt. I figured like this, Dabar She'oise Tzadik Mitztayer Boy, this same matter that this Tzadik, Nechunya, is concerning himself always over it. You kosher by Zara, should his very own children be have to suffer through it? And Tosfos points out that the fact is, again, since we're talking about the very same burr that her father dug, or at least the very same water that he provided for the tzibur, it wouldn't be appropriate, min hashamayim, that his own daughter should die in that water. So therefore, he realized she's going to get out of there safe. Omer Rab Acha. So Rab Acha says that's true. Nevertheless, Acha Pekin mes b'noi batzama. Later on, at some point, Nechunya's son died of thirst. Now you're going to say, what do you mean? So that Tosfos points out, it's one thing that the son died for a lack of water, but the actual water itself that his father had provided for the tzibur, it's not right that his daughter would end up dying in that. But to die from something else, yes, admitted, it's as a result of water. It's an indirect result of water, but still, that's not included in what Rav Chanina Mendoza is saying.
Also, on the other hand, if he provided water for all the Yidden, so he should have been provided with water also.
Nevertheless, the Gemara says,
one
second, Shenema, because we find in the Pasuk, Usbiva of Nisara Ma'od, the Pasuk says, around Hashem is very Nisara. Now, the simple meaning of Nisara is stormy, like Sar Goda Bayam. But the Gemara is darshining, the word Nisara is written with a sin, so it's Moloshin Seir, a hair, Melamed Shakarish Bochum, Medakim Sviva. Hashem is particular with those who are around him, Tzadikim, Afilo Kachot Asaira, even like a hair's breadth. So, yes, Hashem. Nechunya, being a tzaddik, he was judged very strictly by Hashem. So it's one thing that his daughter should actually drown in water, the very water that he provided to the tzibur, that Reb Chanina Mendoza is saying is not going to happen. But that his son might die because of a lack of water, that's already HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdikim tzaddikim, and that doesn't go against Hashem's rules for justice. Rav Nechunya, maybe he was a descendant of the original Rav Nechunya, I don't know, at least it was his namesake, although on the side of it here it says that in Yevamos it's actually in the name of Rav Chanina. Omar, anyway, he says, Mehocha, you have a different posik that expresses this idea, how particular Hashem is with tzaddikim. The posik says, Keil Naretz Besod Kedoshim, Hashem who is exalted in the secret gathering of the holy ones, meaning the pashtus, meaning the malachim, Rabba Venora, Kol Svivav, he's a Besod Kedoshim Rabba, in the great assembly of the holy ones, Venora, Kol Svivav, and Hashem is awesome, and Hashem is feared by all those around him. So we see those who are around him, the tzaddikim, who are around Hashem and close to him, they're the ones that Hashem is noda, that Hashem is awesome and fearful over them because he treats them with midas agvora. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanina, Kola Oimer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Hu. Anybody who says that Hashem is a Vatran, that Hashem lets things slide, kind of a Vatran is like, for example, you have when a person goes to the store and he says, keep the change, that would be an example of a Vatran. You have, for example, Iyah Vatran Mamoina, yeah. So if a person says that Hashem is like that he doesn't pay attention to the little details, yivosu chayav, his life deserves to be made hefker. The expression, the Yerushalmi, when it brings this, has a different expression, yisvatrin bnei ma'oyi, his stomach deserves to be, his stomach, his kishkis, deserve to be let loose, and like, in other words, like, oh, his body will fall apart. Because no, that's a wrong way of thinking of it. And because it causes that people are going to think, well, in that case, I don't have to worry about doing Avedis. Hashem is an easygoing, nice guy. And therefore, even regular people. Shenemat, Sur Tomim Polik, he called Drachav Mishpat. And the Pasuk says, Hashem is the rock. What he accomplishes, what he does is perfect. And all his ways are Mishpat. So to be mevatar would be the opposite of mishpat. What it is Hashem will take other factors into consideration. So and therefore a person doesn't always get the punishment for his averus right away. The Eibishter is erech hapayim, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, and you have many other considerations, but not that the Eibishter is saying, I'm going to let it slide and I'm going to ignore it. That he doesn't do. So in this connection, Omer Rav Chana, the Itamer of Shmuel Manachmeni, my dichtiv, what does it mean? The Pasuk says, erech hapayim. In the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim, very appropriate for today, we say that Hashem is Erech Apayim, V'lo Yksiv Erech Af. Now, the word Af, Rashi points out, in the singular, means anger. Apayim implies two kinds of will. So if it said Erech Af, it would mean that Hashem is patient and slow to anger with Rishoyim. But since it says Erech Apayim in the plural, it means there are two different Ritzonis of Hashem, which Hashem is long with. What does that mean? Erech Apayim lo tzaddikim v'lo rishoyim. It means that Hashem is Erech Apayim both for tzaddikim and for rishoyim. For tzaddikim, that Hashem doesn't always pay them in this world for their mice and toivim, so that they'll get the ultimate reward in Olam Haba. And for Rishoyim, Hashem waits. And then Tosfos points out over here that actually you have, when it comes to the Rishoyim, there are actually two factors in it. On the one hand, it can be for the bad, that this way their reward, Hashem doesn't punish them in this world, so they get their full punishment in Olam Haba. There can also be a good in it, because it means Hashem has given them more of an opportunity to do tshuva, so they don't have to be punished. So when it comes to the Rishoyim itself, you have two different ways, two different reasons why Hashem is patient with them. And with the Tzaddikim, it's one reason in order that they should get a greater schar l'olam haba. But that's why it says Erech HaPayim in the plural. Okay. Finishing off on this point about not making a bor b'rishus harabim, the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, lo yisakel odem b'rishus l'rishus harabim. Just like we said, a person is not allowed to dig in Rishus HaRabim the same way he's not allowed to throw stones when he's clearing his field and throw the stones from his Rishus into Rishus HaRabim. Maisa ba'odem echot shayim asakam Rishus HaRabim. It happened once a person was doing just that. Umotze chosid echot, a certain chosid met up with him. Elsewhere the Gemara says that chosid echot may mean either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi. Anyway, so this chosid met up with him. Amalei says, Reka, you empty person. Why are you throwing stones? Why are you clearing stones from a rishus which is not yours into a rishus which is yours? Sounds backwards, because he's doing the other way around. He's doing from his rishus to a rishus that's not his. So the guy laughed at the chosid echad. Eventually this guy became poor and had to sell his field. He's walking one day down that same street. And he's tripped over the very same rocks that he had thrown there before. Now he says, "Ah, now I understand well what this chosid told me. Because the field is not always going to be shalcha. Because you see, that I ended up having to sell it. The Rishus HaRabim is always shalcha because everybody has the right to walk in Rishus HaRabim. And they happen in other ways, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, "Hachoyfer bor b'rishus harabim v'nofel l'seicha shorah chamer." Person digs a bor b'rishus harabim, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, or any other animal, for that matter. We're going to learn at the end of the parak that these dinim apply to all animals and birds and whatnot. Anyway, chayev, so he's chayev for what happens to the animal, and it applies echad hachoyfer bor, whether he digs a bor which is wound, shiach or shiach which is rectangular, umaora, or a cave, which is basically square, Rashi explains, and it has a covering, it has a roof over it. So like a cave, like you think of a cave. The difference is, in other words, it has an opening at the side, so it's still possible for an animal to wander in there and then fall in. So that's umaora, or charitzin, or a person digs charitzin, which Rashi explains, it's similar in shape to a maora, it's square, but it doesn't have a roof over it. Unitzin is where it's narrow on the bottom and wide on the top. So all these are different kinds of water pits that people would dig in those days. Rabbi Hananel has a bit of a different explanation. He explains that a choritz is wider on bottom and narrower on the top, and the itzin is the other way around. Like Rashi says, narrower on the top, narrower on the bottom, wider on the top. Whatever the case, in all those cases, chayev, then he's chayev if an animal falls in. Well, if you have all these different types, why does the Torah mention specifically bur, as if to imply it's only that one? So it tells you, just like a bur has to be, for a person to be chayev for the death of the animal, a bur is deep enough to kill an animal, namely it's 10 tfachim deep. By default, people would dig burris at least 10 tfachim deep, because otherwise you don't get much water in there. The same way with any other shape that we're talking about, it has to be at least 10 tefachim deep. And if not, then he's potter for the death of the animal, because then it's a fluke that the animal died. If the animal got injured, then yeah, but less than 10 tefachim we consider as not deep enough to kill an animal. Continues the Mishnah. So if the bur was less than 10 tefachim deep, the nafal seicha shorah chamer v'mes, and a shorah chamer fell in there and died, potter. Because again, 10 tefachim is not usually enough to kill it. But if the animal was injured, then he's chayev, because even less than 10 tefachim is enough to injure.
If the animal falls from like an arrow, then he can't get up. He's stuck down.
That's the Gemara is going to discuss now, how it is that a bur kills. So let's say, so Omar Rab, bur shechiva olav torah, lahev loy v'lelachavdoy. Rab says, let's look at the halachic theory behind the idea of a bur. Rab says, when we're saying the Torah is machayev by a bird, particularly a bird of shosramim, then the chiyuv is for the fact that there's stale air in there, and therefore basically the animal suffocates, not so much about the damage that was caused to the animal by banging on the bottom of the bird. Alma, so that shows, the reason is, Kosovar, Rav holds chavda, kauka olam hu demazgale, because when it comes to the banging, that's the kauka olam, it's the ground that belongs to everybody, it's in the Rosh Hashanah, and the ground that was always there, that injured the animal, therefore you can't make the person who dug the bird responsible for that aspect of it, but you can make him responsible for the aspect that there's stale air in there, and therefore that the animal suffocated. Shmuel says, no, you can be mechayev him for both. The stale air, I agree, but all the more so for the fact that it got banged up over there. You're going to say, says Shmuel, maybe the Torah is only mechayev him for the banging, not for the stale air. No, the Torah is testifying that a burr can kill even if the bottom of the burr is lined with fleeces of wool, so it's soft, so an animal falls in there, it's not going to get banged up. Nevertheless, the Torah is implying that the person is chayev because of the hevel, because of the stale air. However, Shmuel is saying, if there's no cushioning like that, you're also going to be chayev l'chavdoi for the fact that the animal was banged up. Well, the Gemara says, what's the practical difference between Rav and Shmuel? Given that both of them are saying you chayev, and the fact is, Rashi explains, even if, let's say, so we see there were actual injuries to the animal, we see the animal broke its neck, or its stomach split open, or whatever, still, you could say, Rav would say, so then on the face of it, you would say, Rav would say it's potter, because you're potter for the chavdoi. Nevertheless, Rav would agree that the hevloi may have contributed to the animal dying. Maybe, for example, the hevloi prevented the animal from bracing itself well enough to not hit the ground so hard, is how some mafoshim explain it. And according to Shmuel, you're saying you chayev because of both, so no matter how the animal died. So what's the practical difference between Rav and Shmuel's reason? So the difference is, what if a person made a high thing in Rosh Hashanah? So a person made, instead of a bird that goes below ground, a person made a pile of dirt 10 tefachim tall in Rosh Hashanah, and the animal walked up on top of it and then fell down onto the ground and got killed. So, according to Rab, there's no havla. Therefore, you can't be mechayev. And he says, "Chavta yipotu for because the ground of Rosh Hashanah, and you didn't put that ground there." And then havla, there's no havla over here because it's out in the middle of the street. According to Shmuel, you're going to be chayev because he holds yuchayev for chavta as well. Chavta is the banging, the fact that it banged on the ground and got killed.
You know, the guy who put the dirt.
The guy who put the pile of dirt there was going to be the one chayev. Yeah. So that's how Rashi and Tosfos learn that we're talking about, that the animal climbed up on there and then fell down. The Rambam seems to understand that it means also just if the animal banged into it, he put a pile of dirt over there and the animal crashed into it, then also you'd have a point of Rav, he'd be potter, and a point of Shmuel, he'd be chayim. Let's say, for example, the Gemara is going to talk in a couple of daffing by a burr, also can't the animal see. And the Gemara is going to give several answers. Whatever answers apply to that would apply to this as well. So my time of the Rav, why does Rav hold that you potter for the chavtoy and only chay for the hevloy? He says, the pasuk says, when the animal falls, ad sheyipol derech nefila, so only if it falls in the normal way. So you're walking along, and then all of a sudden it falls into a burr, as opposed to when the animal had to climb up on top of a pile of dirt in order to fall off. Rav says, that's not included in what the Torah is saying. Whereas Shmuel would say, "Vanafal" implies the animal fell. No matter how it fell, it's still going to be chayav.
If it's in the middle of the Shusharab, that's the only way, almost the main way you can go.
You could walk around it. Yeah.
But it gets right in.
Okay, yeah. So the Gemara says, "Tanam." Let's look at our Mishnah and see which one it fits with. We said, "Im came mama nema bur." So we said, if the rule applies to burus and shichen and ma'oris and so on and so forth, So why did it say specifically bur? We said ma bur sheyesh bekedei lahomis asarat tefachim af kol kedei sheyesh bekedei lahomis asarat tefachim. We said the general rule is it has to be something 10 tefachim. So b'shleim l'shmuel af kol la'asuya goiva. So according to Shmuel, we understand the Mishnah has mentioned all the different kinds of water pits. Now when it says af kol, also anything else which is 10 tefachim includes a pile of dirt 10 tefachim tall. El the Rav, Afkol Asuya Mai, but according to Rav, what is Afkol coming to include? According to him, if you're only chayav for a burr, and we listed every possible kind of burr in the Mishnah, and the answer is lasui charitzin and itzin. He would say it comes to include the charitzin and itzin. Moses says, "What do you mean charitzin and itzin?" The head you katoni lahu. The Mishnah had mentioned them explicitly. So the answer is okay. Toni v'hodim afarish. The Mishnah is first mentioning charitzin and itzin, and then it's explaining. So where do we get that a person should be chayav for charitzin and itzin? Is because the Torah is using the word burr, and it implies anything that's 10 tefachim deep. But still, according to Rab, it has to be deep, not high up above the ground. According to Rab, it was high up above the ground. He's potter, because again, Rab says the problem is only Hevla, and there's no Hevla in that place. So deep, that's what we're saying. So the Mishnah is saying, Charitzin and Itzin. Now, what makes you think maybe only a burr should a person be chayev? So the Mishnah is explaining, because since it says burr, and we learn by a mamatzinu that it means anything that's 10 fucking deep, therefore Charitzin and Itzin are going to be included. So according to Rab, you're right. The afkol is not coming to add any new kind of pit. It's just coming to explain where do we know that the same rule applies for all kinds of pits. Okay, so the Gemara continues. So Vahani Kula de Katani Lomali, Taka, why does the Mishnah have to list all five kinds of pits? And the answer is Tzricha. We need one after the other. The eton a burr, if you said only a burr which is round, have I mean a burr asoro, the isvehevla, then according to Rab, he would say, you know why you're chayav by a burr, 10 fucking deep, because there's stale air in there, because it's round, mishum to cotton or kricha, it's small in size and it's round, so therefore the stale air doesn't escape it very easily. So therefore, av shiach to orich, but a shiach which is rectangular, it's longer than it's wide, aim of asoro less behevla, maybe 10 fucking deep is not deep enough to have enough dangerous stale air in it. The iton, so therefore it needs to mention shiach. The iton of shiach, if we only mention that, have amin a shiach asorahu de isve hevla mishum de kotin, you would say fine, but it's narrow in one dimension. It's a rectangle, so it's narrow in one dimension and wide and then long in the other one. Avol ma'ora de meraba, but a ma'ora is square. Aim of asorah less ve hevla, you could say maybe by ma'ora 10 tefachim deep is not enough to have hevla yet. The itoni ma'ora have amin a ma'ora ba'asoro who the isbe hevla, you would say fine, a ma'ora maybe has hevel in it, has stale air, mishum de metalla, because after all, it's got a roof. Aba charitzin de metalli, charitzin are square, and they don't have a roof, so maybe the stale air can very easily escape there. Aim of ba'asoro less behu hevla, so maybe therefore 10 tefachim is not deep enough to have hevla. The itoni charitzin have amin a charitzin asoro who isbe hevla, Mishum de less behu revicha min la'el, because charitzin, tfei mitatoi, because charitzin are not any wider on top than on bottom. Like we said, charitzin, according to Rashi, is just square, but Pashto is implying they're the same width across from top to bottom, according to Rabbeinu Hananel. On the contrary, the charitzin are narrower on top and wider on bottom. So you would say, therefore, the stale air has no easy way to escape. But ne'itzin, which are wider on the top than they are on the bottom, maybe there's no hevla in them, and therefore the Mishnah had to list them. So it's listing all five of them because each one is a greater chiddush over the previous one. But according to Rab, so you can't. You could have said ne'itzin, and we could have learned out all the others. But it's often the Mishnah will often do that. Loizu afzu. Not only this, but even this, which is a greater chiddush. So therefore, the Mishnah ended up listing all of them, but according to Rab, when it says af kol, doesn't include things that stick out above the ground, because according to him, you're potter, because there's no hevla there at all. Rather, according to him, the af kol is just explaining why taka we say that a person is chayav for all five of these, because the Torah mentions burr, and therefore we learn anything that's 10 tefachim deep. Whether we're going to say, yes, but this one has more hevla and this one has less hevla, doesn't matter, 10 tefachim, we assume there's enough hevla in there to kill. But according to Shmuel, we're not saying that, and therefore according to Shmuel, we're saying afkol comes to include something sticking up above Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos discusses over there. You can have discusses over here. You can have, for example, according to Shmuel, who has no problem that the animal got injured by the ground of Rosh Hashanah, that he's chayev. So Tosfos discusses a case you could have. There was a pile of dirt five tefachim tall in Rosh Hashanah. Around it, you dug a ditch five tefachim deep. So therefore, now the animal climbed up on the five tefachim. Between them, you have a 10 tefach drop, and then the animal fell down. Okay, so we'll continue discussing this point about hevla and chavta and all of that tomorrow on Matzah Shabbos.